And now, the latest news and developments from the occupied territories in Palestine from the International Middle East Center in Bethlehem.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center at www.immc.org for Monday, February 23rd, 2015. Israeli troops invade West Bank communities and injure civilians. In the meantime, Israel's electricity company cuts off power to major Palestinian cities. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Four Palestinian civilians were injured on Sunday late at night by live rounds fired by Israeli troops after dozens of soldiers invaded the Aida refugee camp in the southern West Bank city of Bethlehem. The wounded Palestinians suffered moderate injuries and were moved to Beit Jala governmental hospital in the city. Scores of Palestinians suffered the effects of tear gas inhalation, especially after the soldiers fired gas bombs at several homes. The soldiers also invaded several homes and violently searched them, causing property damage and interrogated the families. In addition, a number of soldiers occupied rooftops of some homes and used them as military towers. On Monday at dawn, Israeli soldiers invaded various areas in the occupied West Bank, stormed and searched several homes before kidnapping five Palestinians and handed one resident a military order for interrogation. Kidnappings and home searches were reported in the southern West Bank cities of Hebron and Bethlehem, the central West Bank city of Ramallah, and Jenin in northern West Bank. Elsewhere, dozens of Israeli soldiers invaded on Monday morning the Jerusalem Gate protest village in Abu Dis town east of the occupied East Jerusalem and demolished it for the ninth consecutive time. The invasion was carried out after at least 30 army vehicles surrounded the area and declared it a closed military zone. The village was installed for the first time nearly 3 weeks ago on the Khalit al-Rahab area east of Abu Dis to protest Israel's decision to displace and relocate the Bedouin communities so that it can continue its construction and expansion of illegal Israeli settlements. In other news, Israeli Electricity Company announced that it will begin limiting the supply of electricity to a number of West Bank cities beginning from 2 p.m. on Monday. Israeli media sources reported that electricity will be halted for up to 2 hours daily. The power company says the decision comes due to the 1.1 billion Israeli shekels debt the Palestinian Authority owed to the company. Israel has been withholding hundreds of million of U.S. dollars, which Israel collects in tax revenue on behalf of the Palestinian Authority. This has affected the PA's ability to pay the salaries of the public sector employees and fulfill its other obligations. And that's all for today from the IMEMC News. This was the Monday, February 23rd, 2015, news roundup from the occupied Palestinian territories. For more news and updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. Today's report has been brought to you by George Shmawi and me, Ghassan Bannoura.
In the latest news from U.S.-occupied Afghanistan, an Indian priest has been freed in Afghanistan 8 months after he was kidnapped by unidentified gunmen. Aid worker Alexis Prem Kumar was kidnapped in Afghanistan's western province of Herat last June while visiting a school. The Indian Prime Minister today praised the release of the Indian Jesuit priest from captivity in Afghanistan. In other news from Afghanistan, 3 Afghan soldiers and 2 Taliban fighters were killed in a gun battle today in the Maidan Wardak province. Separately, at least 14 policemen have been arrested in connection to a deadly attack by militants on Logar Provincial Police Headquarters. According to local government officials, the policemen are now in the custody of the Afghan military after they were implicated in involvement in the attack. Afghan media sources are reporting that Taliban leadership has approved preliminary peace talks with the government of Afghanistan in a bid to find a solution to the ongoing violence in the country. A senior Afghan Taliban negotiator is reportedly in Pakistan for talks this week.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Joanna Peterson, Rosalind Scott, and James Helmsworth. Our engineer is Danielle Parks. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. If you'd like to call your elected representatives about any issue you've heard on the news tonight, here are the phone numbers, so get a pen or something to write with. The local number for Senator Ron Wyden is 503-326-7525. The number for Senator Jeff Merkley is 503-326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Joanna Peterson.
And I'm Rosalind Scott. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, it's the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. At 9, on Alternative Radio, renowned writer, scholar, and lecturer Angela Davis speaks on transnational solidarity. At 10 on Air Cascadia, Chris Andre speaks with CIA whistleblower John Kerouacou. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host Demae Roberts speaks with Damaris Webb, who's performing her autobiographical play, The Box Marked Black, about growing up mixed race, and Matt Colbert, a writer in Newburgh, whose debut novel is called The Futility of Nicknames. And at 11 on Art Focus, Joseph Gallivan interviews Sonnet Stanfill, curator of Italian style at the Portland Art Museum. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support in our recent winter membership drive. If you missed it, you can still contribute by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. Stay tuned for a KBOO in-depth report. Good night, Joanna.
Good night, Rosalind. Good night, Danielle.
Hello, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us today, that's for sure. And folks, it's with great pleasure that I get to introduce Linda Merrick. She's with 9 to 5. She's always fun. Linda, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Charles. Great to be back.
So, Linda, you know, last night there were some festivities on TV, you know, awards given out and people talking about things that are important to them. And one of the things that resonated, and I'm going to let you tell the story, was equal pay for men and women doing the same job.
Yep. So last night, Patricia Arquette took home the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress for her role in the film Boyhood. And she basically turned her speech into a call for wage equality. She also turned it and some of her backstage comments after the award into a learning moment, I think, for all of us. But what she said in her speech was, it's our time to have wage equality once and for all and equal rights for women in the United States of America. I couldn't agree with her more on that point. You know, we've passed a number of civil rights and equal pay bills over the years, but the reality is that women overall in this country still face a 22% wage gap compared to men.
Now, and Linda, I've asked you this one before, and I'm pulling your leg a little bit, but I'm serious about this. Women are 52% of the population in the United States. And I have a lot of faith that moms and daughters and sisters and wives, those people that do a lot of the organizing in our communities and in our homes all across the United States, could get together and clobber whoever is standing in their way.
So we're working on that. 9 to 5, you know, we're an organization of women in low-wage jobs organizing to improve workplace policies. Organized labor unions are working to, you know, create fair workplaces, and that includes equal pay. But the reality is that women and people of color are concentrated in lower-paying jobs that aren't valued. So, you know, they may be doing work that is of the same, that requires the same responsibility and experience and education level, and yet those jobs pay less because women are in them. You know, I think I mentioned the 22% pay gap. So that means that women in full-time year-round jobs earn just 78 cents for every dollar earned by men in year-round full-time jobs. And that's the math for women overall. The gap is much worse for women of color. Black women are paid just 64 cents for every dollar paid to white men, who are the highest earners. And for Latinas, the number is only 56 cents. So that's why Arquette's statement resonated so much, because it raised awareness of this critical need for equal pay in a venue that most often, I think, people associate with entertainment and comments about what women are wearing to the awards.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think there are still issues out there, not just what women are wearing, but that need to be addressed. And Lynn, you and I have talked about this before, and I don't get it. I don't understand it. My wife works, and I don't want her working for 70% of what her male colleagues are making. I want her working at the same pay rate for the same job. And I want the same thing for my daughter, and I would want the same thing for my mother if she were still alive. And I got to say, any guy that doesn't get it, dude, that's resources coming into your house.
Exactly right, Charles. I mean, that's a great point. This is, you know, we're talking about equal pay for women, but the reality is that achieving equal pay for women brings benefits to families and to the economy. It's an overall good thing. So I do want to just make one more comment about some of Arquette's comments. I think she missed the mark in some ways, because she started her remarks by addressing them to every woman who gave birth, to every taxpayer and citizen of this nation. Mm-hmm. We fought for everybody else's equal rights. The reality is that all women deserve equal pay, whether or not they can or want to have kids, and whether or not they're citizens. And the reality is also that everybody else doesn't have equal rights yet. People of color, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, and many other groups who face discrimination and inequality are still fighting for those rights.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got some stellar leadership out there. And even if Ms. Arquette did not fully articulate, she got people talking about this.
Exactly.
And one of the things that struck me is I had, after I had read what she said on Twitter, I tweeted it out, and then Emma Watson followed me. Yeah, so, okay, it's a small world. But the long and short of this is she has identified and articulated something that is very important. She did it on a broad stage, and this is a wonderful thing. And I got to say that here in studio, we've got my two partners in crime here. And they deserve every nickel they make, and they deserve to be paid the same way that any man would be paid. And, you know, I got to say that this is a discussion, even if not articulated entirely, needs to be happening.
Her message got out to millions of people who might not otherwise have heard it. So I say let's applaud her call for wage equality and equal rights for women, and let's use maybe the her missteps, to call attention to work that all of us need to do together to ensure that we have an economy that works for everybody, where equal rights and wage equality are a reality for all of us.
Linda, I got to ask you a question. I know that you are out there on and you're doing yeoman's work, getting the word out, getting women and others. Anybody that's got a mother is eligible to go and work with you. You're doing great work. But what do we have to do to spread the word, to get more people involved? And once we get more people involved, what do we got to do to make the changes we need to here in this country?
Right. Well, there are a lot of pieces to that answer. But, you know, the first answer is that we need to organize. So we need to be sure that people understand the pay gap that exists. Many times, especially younger women, don't realize, you know, I think there is an assumption that because we've passed the Equal Pay Act and the Civil Rights Act and the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, you know, that everything's hunky-dory and that, of course, women are being paid the same as men. And it's through their experience on the job that women come to realize that maybe that's not exactly the case. So, you know, we need to be sure that that women and men get the word about the pay gap and the impact of it. I mean, seriously, families lose up to millions of dollars over a career,
right,
because of the pay gap. And that's money that could help families pay bills today and save for a secure retirement tomorrow. So, you know, it's a big deal. And then in addition to, like, educating folks is to organize them, to take action, to speak out, to share their stories about unequal pay with each other, with the media, with policymakers, and demand that candidates and politicians take a stand in support of equal pay for women.